are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
28 minutes before the hour of 6 o'clock. Thank you so much for staying tuned to Adventist World Radio, SID Media. This is the Maranatha Drive, the segment where we just allow you to have some accompaniment as you drive home. And as we draw to the close, always we say, when it's all said and done, yes, we can have good conversations, good music, but it is the Word of God that we ultimately need. At this point in time, Mfundisi Dladla joins us on the line to share with us God's Word in our devotion this evening. Muruti, good evening to you and welcome.
A very good evening to you, and how are you?
No, we're doing okay, sir, and yourself?
I'm good, thanks. Sorry for the background. It's a rainy weather. But nonetheless, I hope and trust that you can hear me.
No, we are getting you, Muruti. We are getting you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm going to then hand over to you to take us through the word for today.
Amen. Let me greet everyone in the most powerful name and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope and trust that you had a beautiful day once more and that you are prepared to have a spirit-filled devotion this evening, as are going to be looking at three aspects of the prodigal son. And let me take you through our devotion, which is found in the book of, we are reading from the book of Luke chapter 15. So Luke chapter 15 it is. Luke chapter 15, we are reading verse 25 and 28. So that is Luke chapter 15. We are looking at verse 25 and 28. The Bible says, "Now his older son was in the field." I want you to note that. "And when he came drawn near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked these things, what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has gotten him back safe and sound.'" Now, verse 28 says, "And he was angry and would not go in. So his father came out and begged him." May the good Lord bless the reading of his word now and forevermore. Amen. Now, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that, Lord, you might speak to your people through me. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Now, friends, oftentimes when we quote Luke chapter 15, we normally talk about the younger son who went astray and came back home. And whenever we touch a little bit about the older son, then we don't say much about the older son. And I just wanna make a threefold analysis about the son and his behavior here. So it is at the setting where the younger son has come back from the far country. Now, the Bible says that when he came back from the far country, the father threw a huge, massive party for the younger son for having come back. Now, there are three things that I want us to note this evening about the older son. The first thing that I want us to note about the older son is that he was busy. The second thing that I want us to note about the older son is that he came back from the field and he heard the music. And he saw the dancing. And the third thing that I want us to look at this evening is that he was angry. And after being angry, the Bible says he did not go in. So in other words, he did not take part of the celebration which was happening. Now, I want us to also look at something about the father. What is interesting about the father here is that for the younger son, the Bible says when he came back, the father did not wait for the younger son to come into the house, but the father went out to meet the younger son and gave him a hug. But also what most people don't realize when reading this chapter is that the father also goes out for the older son. When the older son could not or did not get in, the Bible says that the father went out to beg him outside. So the father does not go out once, but the father equally so goes out twice for his son. The father reaches out for the two sons. But I want us to look at the character of the older son. Now, when we look into the in the surface of this text, one might make a conclusion to say that the older son was actually much better than the younger son, because number one, the older son was in the field. Now, in other words, while the younger son was having fun in the far country, the older son never forsook his home. And even more so, the older son was busy in the field. He was not idle in the home. But now the problem with the older son is that he was doing activities and he was very enthusiastic and passionate about the field, while he was not passionate about knowing who his father was. In other words, he was in the father's field, but he was not intimate with the father. So in other words, this person, the older son, was doing the Lord's ministry, what I would call the Lord's ministry, without the intimacy that's required to do the Lord's ministry with the Lord. And oftentimes, friends, we find ourselves caught up in the attitude and the posture of the older son. We find ourselves being busy with ministry. Now, there is nothing being wrong with being busy with ministry, but there is everything wrong when we find ourselves in the father's vineyard, in the father's field, without an intimacy with the father, without intimacy with the father. And I want to say to someone this evening, make it a point that as you do ministry, as you go about to do ministry, and as you go about doing good, do it with the Lord's heart and the Lord's intention in your mind. Don't just do whatever that is good without being intimate with the Father. Don't be in the Father's field without understanding and having a connection with the Father's heart. And such was the problem of the older son. The older son's problem was not idleness. The older son's problem was being busy without being intimate with the Father. Oh, how I pray and wish that our church this evening could be a church that is not only busy with programs, but a church that will be filled with power. A church that will not be full in their pews, but a church that will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, we are too busy for God. We've got a lot of commitments, and we've got a lot of programs. We've got a lot of meetings in our churches. But the question is, are we too busy to an extent that we can't even be intimate with the one that we are busy for? Never lose the object of being busy. Never lose the gist of being in the commission and the mission of Jesus Christ. In actual fact, the ultimate goal for us is not how much souls we have won for Christ. It is not how much programs we have made. It is not how many preachers we've invited into our churches, but it is how intimate we have been with the Father. Now, here's the second thing that I want you to note. The Bible says that the Son comes closer. So he hears the music, he sees the dancing, he comes closer to the party, but he would not partake of the party. In other words, friends, when I look at this young, at this old son, I see someone who is near enough to hear the music and the sound of rejoicing, but too far enough to participate in it. He was close enough to where the rejoicing was, but he was still far enough because he wouldn't get inside. So such is the condition also of the contemporary church. We are too close, yet we are too far. We are too close to see and hear the rejoicing and to know and taste that the Lord is good, yet we are too far to actually be partakers of that joy and to be partakers of the salvation of the souls. You see, the problem with us, friends, is that we are signs on the roadside that point people to the right way and point people to the right direction and point people to the right way of dressing, point people to the right way of eating, yet we are not going there. We are close enough to present the message, yet we are far enough because we don't have the experience of the message. The older son was close enough to the house, but the older son would not enter into the house. How often do we tell people prescriptions of how and what it means to be holy, but we don't actually practice holiness in our lives? How oftentimes do we talk about Jesus and his saving grace and his power and his redemptive love, yet we don't have the experience of that. The son was too close to the house, yet he was too far because he wouldn't participate. We have a problem today of prescriptive Adventists. They know the way, they show others the way, but they will not enter and go into the way that they prescribe for others. Whenever sermons are being preached, they already have someone in mind to say, this point is hitting that person, this point is addressing that person, this point is addressing that other person from the other side of the queue who is experiencing this very sin that the preacher is preaching about. But seldom do they actually have the transforming power of the grace of Jesus in their life when the sermons are being preached. They are close enough to Jesus, yet they are still far enough from his saving grace. I want to also appeal that let us not be a church that is closer to Jesus, yet not have the experience with Jesus. And the third thing that I want to note here in this text, as I'm about to give it a close, is the fact that the son was angry with the older son was angry with the younger son's redemption. The old son was angry with the father's forgiveness of the young son. And he had a problem with the grace of his father, because he thought that the grace of his father was misplaced and haphazard. He felt that the grace of the father should be moderated and should be redirected to those who actually deserve it. In other words, the reason of his anger is that he had done so much, yet he accomplished so little. He had done so much, sweated so much, done so much for the father, yet he had no transformation and he had no experience of love from his father because he was not intimate with him. Oftentimes, friends, we also are finding ourselves in this contemporary space where people feel like the grace of God is haphazard when God shows grace to those whom we deem they don't deserve it, those whom we feel like they don't actually qualify for the grace of God. When God shows them grace, we are too quick to judge the grace of God, and we are too quick to question God's decisions, and we are too quick to inquire about God's choosing. And I want to say, and I make an appeal to the church of God today, that the grace of God belongs to God himself. His grace is incomprehensible and his grace is invincible. His grace stands in the solitude of itself, and his grace originates in divinity. His grace is high above and does not match our dimension. His grace is incomprehensible. It is not something that we can explain. And that is how God operates, that even those that we think and deem and feel they've cheated God so much and they don't deserve his grace are the ones that God shows his grace. Therefore, let me make this appeal, that stop looking at what God is doing in other people's life. Start focusing on what God is doing in your life. Stop moderating the grace of God as to where and how it should operate, but focus on God changing you. Do not be like the old son, but learn from the father's heart. The father, despite the fact that the old son was angry, despite the fact that the young son had wasted it all, the father still went out for both his sons. And such is the grace of God. It does not choose. His grace reaches out to everyone. The one who is on the mountaintop, it reaches out to him. And the one who is coming from the valley, it reaches out to that person, because the grace of God is divinely orchestrated and it's redirected by God and it goes exactly to where it is channeled. So let us stop channeling the grace of God. Let us stop moderating the grace of God. Let us stop setting a thermometer in the grace of God, and let us allow the grace of God to operate with whoever and whatever circumstance, because after all, Jesus died for us all, and we have no right to look at other people and say they don't deserve this grace. In other words, the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. It's a biblical principle that is based and founded on God's unfathomable grace. And therefore, instead of working against the grace of God, let us work with the grace of God, and let us allow the grace of God to work in our hearts. May the good Lord bless the reading of his word now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Fundisi. Please do pray with us.
Shall we pray? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your saving grace. We thank you that despite the fact that the prodigal son went away, you still worked your grace in him and he came back to the house. But Father, you are teaching us this evening about the attitude of the old son, Father. Just as the old son was too near home, but was very far from home, I pray, Father, that let us not be in the church yet too far from your heart. Let us not be people who frown at your grace, who want to control your grace, but I pray that let this grace work in us, oh Father. I pray also, Father, that may we not labor in your vineyard because we want to earn grace from you, but let us labor in your vineyard because we have experienced your saving grace and we want others to have a foretaste of your grace. Be with us, Lord, tonight as we conclude this devotion. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray and ask, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for this. God bless you. Until we chat again tomorrow, keep well.
Amen. Amen.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.